Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, so I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use it to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live Tuesday through Friday on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I ask that you join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, where we talk about the episodes and mingle with the guests. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, Spotify, Himalaya app, Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are available. So please subscribe and then leave us a rating and review so we know how we are doing. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are creating an impact in the world around them. And my guest today has done exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show, Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest for today, Emily Bowler. Emily, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today, Sean. Thank you.
I'm really excited to have you on the show. We met in New York City at an event called National Publicity Summit. And when I heard your story, I was like, I have nothing like this on my show. Like, this is going to be awesome. So I was really excited about you because you literally went through a transformation or a couple, but the big one has really transformed your life. And I'm excited to have you here so that you can tell the listeners about your transformation and tell your story.
Yes. Well, I tell you, I was chubby as a kid. I then turned anorexic in high school, and then it just boomeranged back to just eating everything in sight during my adult years. And so I was 100 pounds overweight by the time I was in my early 40s, and I had 5 kids, and I had a heart catheterization and diagnosed with heart disease. I had chest pains, and I was so addicted to food, even though I knew everything I was eating was creating all this heart disease and stuff, I didn't know what to do. And I'm also an artist. So I was going to these art exhibits and showing my art, but I felt so incongruent because I had gone to Italy to see the Sistine Chapel, the painting of the creation of Adam on the Sistine Chapel. And I looked up there and I thought, I just felt so incongruent. Here I was smearing mud. I would never think of smearing mud on the Sistine Chapel, but here I was smearing mud every day on my body, you know, the work of art, which is my body. And I thought, it was like this moment, this epiphany moment, like, I can't be doing this anymore. And then, like, just a couple months later, I put my arm in one of those blood pressure cuffs at Walmart, and it skyrocketed my blood pressure that day. It was over the roof. And at that point, that point, I knew it was no longer a matter of if I would have a heart attack or stroke, but when. And so right. that was like my wake-up call. And with going to see the Sistine Chapel, everything sort of melted together, and I made a radical decision. I said, I'm going to make my transformation into an art exhibit. And I literally called my art exhibit the Transformation Art Exhibit. And like I'm a painter, and as a painter uses paint on canvases or a potter uses clay, I decide I am going to use food and use my body as the canvas and see what food can do to my body to transform it into the work of art that it's created to be. And because I was so miserable carrying around 100 pounds, being full of disease, having no energy, and really sitting on a time bomb to die when I was an artist. And so wow. That was my why. I just couldn't do this to my body anymore, to be so sick. And so that's the wow. why. And then the how. Do you want the how yet?
Well, what I like to do is get into your background just for a second and tell sure. the listeners a little bit about you. The title of this episode is Freedom from Food Addiction with author Emily Bowler. Chubby in childhood, anorexic in her teens, and obese until age 47, Emily Bowler was desperate to find freedom from her struggles with food. In 2008, when she lost 100 pounds, she never expected to become an inspirational voice for food addiction recovery for millions of people. Today, she combines her personal journey, hard-won wisdom, and practical tips with Joel Fuhrman, his teachings to inspire and help others break free from inner blocks that sabotage their health and well-being. After losing a child to suicide, she also knows the impact of trauma and grief on addiction recovery and how to recover from relapse as well. For anyone desiring long-term freedom from food addiction, she can show the way. You can go to Emily Bowler with two L's, B-O-L-L-E-R, EmilyBowler.com, and learn more about the writings, the books, the blogs, everything that she has going on, how to get in touch with her. And then her Facebook is right there in the show notes. You can connect with her on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ Emily Bowler Starved to Obesity. And so you need to connect with her if you know anybody that is suffering with a food addiction or anorexia, bulimia, any of those things that she has talked about in this episode or will talk about or on her website. Get in touch with Emily Bowler. So Emily, what I want to do right now is talk about that moment that you brought up. What was, or can you explain that moment, that transformational moment that occurred in your life that was the catalyst to where you are now? What was that moment in life that put you on the path to what you're doing today?
Yes. You know, it was on about my 48th birthday, and I was at my friend, her art studio. And it was like this epiphany moment. I just thought, I've got to do this. I just knew. I can't explain it. And she even looked at me like, something's happening here. And at that moment, I wasn't going to start this Transformation Art Exhibit for 6 more weeks. But at that moment, I just knew I was going to do this. And it was like something unlocked within me. And I think it was my desperation. Up to this point, 48 years of desperation. I knew even as a 6-year-old, something wasn't right. My mom put me on a diet, you know, when I was 6. I had struggled with anorexia, with, you know, binge eating, all kinds of diets that just would rebound and I gained more weight. And I think 48 years of this buildup of frustration, of failure, of disillusionment all came to a head that day. And I just knew I had to do something radical. Sometimes it takes something very radical in our lives, a change that, you know, maybe is not popular, maybe like everybody would roll their eyes, an idea, but you know you have to do it. And I think a lot of times when we're willing to take that risk and do something very radical, that's when we transform the most. You know, we're not complacent with, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to, you know, do this quiet transformation. But by putting it out there, I actually made this website, and people were able to log in and see month to month what my changing body looked like, what my health numbers looked like. I mean, I actually, on the day I began, July 10th, 2008, I actually posted what I weighed that day. And for me, coming from years and years and years of shame about this addiction, about this problem I had with food, about this being overweight, being called every name in the book when I was a kid, for me to post what I weighed for the public, that was my biggest step to overcome, was just, I'm going to do it. I don't care if people make fun of me. I just got to do this. And I think desperation led me to that transformational moment. It's like, I got to do this, and I'm just going to go so radical, so far off into outer space or on this, but I just got to do it. And, you know, when I was chubby in childhood, kids just are very, very mean, at least back in the
70s. Oh, my gosh, yes. Kids are always so mean.
Oh, and if like, you're overweight, oh, my goodness. I was called every name in the book. And then, you know, even someone pretended to call the I live on a farm. I lived on a farm as a kid. And someone pretended to call the pig slaughtering place to pick me up to get me slaughtered. You know, they would call, here, suey, suey, suey. I mean, every name in the book and all that, you know, trauma as a kid of being overweight. And then, you know, to be able to survive high school, I starved myself. I really did. I didn't eat. I didn't know what to do. I was so big, and I had never worn a pair of jeans before. This is my eighth grade year. I made a decision. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get thin for high school, but I did it in a wrong way. I mean, you can't live on an orange, you know, for lunch. But I was immature, 14 years old, and that's what I did. I lost just enough weight to get into a pair of jeans, to make it into high school, to be popular, to be on the pom-pom squad, you know, all kinds of popularity things happened when I was a normal weight. And my senior year, I took it a little too far, and I got about 20 pounds underweight and diagnosed with anorexia. But back in the 70s, late 70s, I'm from a generation that you did not talk about anything such as a mental illness diagnosis.
Right.
You know. And so my parents, they just sort of shoved it under the rug, never mentioned it again, came home from the hospital, and my mother just basically forced me to eat in front of her, at least. You know, she made macaroni and cheese for me, all kinds of high-calorie foods. But that boomeranged, and it was like a food battle going on, and I would starve myself when she wasn't around. I just wouldn't eat anything. And anyhow, I went to college. This is the unfortunate part, but also looking back today, it's the fortunate part. I went to Purdue University, and I met my husband, who we've been married now 38 years. And he didn't know. I sort of confessed to him. I said, I think I have a problem with food. And he said, oh, no big deal. Everybody has a problem with food, you know. It's no big deal. Everybody eats an extra piece of cake once in a while, you know, no big deal. So then by him saying that, I thought, okay, yeah, it's no big deal. And that sort of increased my denial that I really don't have an issue with anything here. But we got married, and soon after the honeymoon, he sees me eating, like, things out of control eating. And he starts calling names, and I start gaining weight. And he starts calling more names. And here, all the name calling I had as a kid just opened up the door all over again as a newlywed. We were young. Neither of us had any clue what this was. We had no way to articulate what food addiction was, what any of this was. And so in order to shame me into losing weight, he would call more names, which only created this vicious cycle of it caused me to binge eat all the more, and it would cause him to name call all the more. So, and that was still back in the culture where you really didn't go to counselors or therapists, or you didn't reach out for help, and it was before the internet, so there was no way to Google what this problem might be. And so we were just like two kids lost at sea, drowning in my food addiction. And then, you know, eventually each child came along and I gained, you know, 10, 20 pounds with each pregnancy. And so there you go. By the time I'm 40 years old, you know, I have 100 pounds on me. And you got to understand, too, up to this point, I would go on diets. On Monday morning, I'd be on a diet. By Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd be off the diet. By Thursday and Friday, I would be depressed. And then I would get my energy up again to find another diet. I'd try another diet. And this went on and on and on. Every Monday morning, I was starting a new diet, and which only by the weekend led to depression, because I could never get out of whatever this was that was causing me to gain all this weight, not realizing the whole time it was food addiction.
Right. So the food addiction, so if I understand what you're saying, it was it like a love-hate relationship? Like, I got to get thin so I'm going to starve. But then you decided that because you were hungry or because of, for whatever reason, you overate, which then, so it was kind of like a fluctuation of things.
Well, it's a little bit twofold. The technical definition of food addiction is when the toxins, they build up in our body from the lack of nutrients in our diet, and they cause cravings that are just as addictive as drug addiction.
Yep.
There's the science out there now on this. And so every diet I was on, it was like, you know, diet soda, diet pudding, diet Jell-O, sugar-free gum. It was very low nutrient foods, maybe a little bit of salad in there, but it was primarily a lot of diet food, or, you know, like cottage cheese and just food that just had low nutrient value to it. And so that created this addiction that was just, it's harder to get, they've done research too, it's easier to get out of a addiction to cocaine than it is addictive food. And they've done study and research. And so it's becoming more and more understandable now that people are realizing, this is what I'm dealing with. It's not a diet I can't do. And when you're getting out of the addiction, it takes 3 or 4 days. You go through withdrawal symptoms just like you would if you're getting out of any other substance use disorder addiction. By, you know, the first day that you abstain from these low-nutrient foods, you put a lot of high-nutrient foods in your body. You replace the food with, for instance, if this gives you an example, you have Dr. Furman, I followed the book Eat to Live, and he teaches, he has this aggregate density food scoring system, and it's the nutrient value of foods, and he scores, like kale scores 1,000, spinach like 789, the different fruits, the different vegetables, the different foods scoring. And then at the bottom is more like, you know, the bread and cottage cheese, things that are calorie dense, but they do not have nutrients, or many, very little nutrients.
Right.
So prior to eating this way, I was probably consuming maybe 200 points a day of nutrients. And this is the whole time I'm obese.
That doesn't sound good.
No. And today I'm eating 4,000 to 5,000
right.
points. So
right.
that's, you know, just, and that's why being eating such low nutrient food, it was creating this firestorm in me. And that was the biological part. And then the emotional part, the more what is termed as an eating disorder, not everybody, it's very, very, not that many people in the population have a true eating disorder, but there's a lot of emotional eating where,
we're
trained as little kids. If we cry, here's a sucker. Or, you know, it's just we're comforted with food, and we eat for recreational reasons. We eat for social reasons. There's so many more reasons we eat to comfort us instead of just fuel for our body, you know. And so what I had learned to do all my life is when I was under a lot of pressure or when I needed comforted, like when my husband was being verbally abusive.
Are you still together? Are y'all still together?
Oh, yeah. And the great thing about that, we got counseling about 15 years into our marriage.
Oh,
we
perfect.
We got counseling for that.
Never too
and,
late.
And, oh, he's just the opposite now. He is so supportive of me, so loving, mm-hmm. so kind, so caring. But we needed help. You know, we got counseling for that. And, yeah, it'll be 38 years in August that we'll be together. You know, it's sort of a twofold thing. There's the emotional part of it, just because we've been conditioned for most of us, at least from when we're little, you know, to be comforted with food in some way, or food is a treat or food is a reward. And so that plays into it. But you'd be surprised once you get the high nutrient foods in you, it just takes away that desire to just want to eat. And that's why I named the book, I called it Starve to Obesity, because we literally starve ourselves to we're so lacking in these nutrients in our body that we just then overcompensate and eat to try to get more and more nutrients. But if we're choosing food that is low in nutrient value, like the chips and, you know, hamburgers or whatever, pizza, everything
right.
that's low in nutrient, high in calorie, we're just going to continue to re-addict us all over again. So that's mm-hmm. how I got out of it, is basically, you know, switching my food world. I was still eating a lot of food,
sure,
but it was
food
had quality to it and nutrients to it, and that's what shut off the addictive cravings.
Yeah, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is what's actually in the food is some of the chemicals that are in there, like high fructose corn syrup. You know, this isn't good, or I don't know about this, or the MSG, what is it, like no GMO, no MSG, no, you know, this, that, you know, whatever, you know, low sodium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all stuff slapped on a package to make it seem like, you know, that it's healthy.
Oh, yeah. And
you gotta know the chemicals.
Those create the toxins too. Yeah, they all create a toxic firestorm within us. And it's
like you
put all that together, it's like crazy.
Yep. So the high fructose corn syrup is an insulin blocker. And what happens is you're hungry, but you've ate an entire bag of chips and you're still hungry because your body doesn't know that it's full, because the high fructose corn syrup is blocking the insulin receptors that detects whether you're full or empty.
Yeah.
So you keep on eating, but you're not full. Same with the soda. You know, you got high fructose corn syrup and soda. You're thirsty because your high fructose corn syrup in the soda is blocking that insulin receptor, and that's how people, you know, become kind of overweight, because they're huge soda drinkers. So if you know that, like I know this, I'll drink a couple sodas couple times a day, whatever. We, you know, go out to a restaurant, you know, everybody gets a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or something, you know, whatever. But inside of certain Mountain Dews, there is something called brominated vegetable oil inside of Mountain Dew. Huh. And what brominated vegetable oil is derived from is bromine. And bromine is a toxic cancer-causing substance. And they use it in, quote, safe levels inside of the Mountain Dew. So the research has shown that Mountain Dew causes cancer.
Oh yeah, I can totally see that. There's acetone in some of the foods. I mean, these chemicals are ridiculous, you know. And you know what most of us don't understand. I understand it now, but just one bite of an addictive substance, it activates the dopamine reward system in our brain, and it causes our brain to demand more. We got to have more, and so that's why once it's like, you know, if you're trying to get out of smoking cigarettes, you can't smoke one cigarette or one drink of alcohol if you've been addicted to alcohol. Same with, you know, these addictive foods. If you've been caught up in the food addiction, just one bite of one of those addictive foods, it just opens it all back up again, and you start craving all that all over again.
Yep. Oh, yeah, 100%. And one of the things that your book talks about is that awareness. And it's not, I want to say it's a nutrition guide, but there's an awareness that took place in your life that was kind of a wake-up call. It was like, what am I doing? Talk about that awareness.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, it's just one of those things that when I was going, you know, going through the motions of eating all this food, it just put my brain into sort of this brain fog. They call it, now there's a word for it. It's like this cognitive impairment is what it, you know, is what it's technically called. But, you know, it just put me in this brain fog, sort of a sugar coma. And I just didn't, I sort of lived life without really being cognizant of anything happening around me. It's like I was in this own little world. But, you know, the book, the awareness I have, that the book, because I go into some very personal details about my story, things that I typically would never tell a stranger, and even the ugly parts of our marriage, you know, my husband and I, when we went through those really hard times, my husband is the one who said, that needs to be in the book, about him calling me names, you know. And he was like, we need to get this story out there to prevent other couples, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever it is, parents who can have some knowledge for their children. I just want to make everybody aware that this, you know, this is happening. And if I would have had this book when I was in high school, before I ever started dating even, you know, to give it to a future boyfriend someday, to understand why I need the support, why I need, you know, this kind of support out of it and stuff. But, you know, the awareness is what it's about. And then, you know, I give the practical tools, the scientific tools, how to get out of the addiction. But, you know, the beginning of the book is my personal story, because I've heard so many people, it resonates with them. They understand. They can totally, there was one point, after one of my kids' birthday parties, I was very tired and it was late at night, and I searched through the trash can for leftover cake and melted ice cream, and I ate some.
Wow.
These are paper plates, like, full of leftover cake.
Like you ate
cake
out of the trash can.
I literally ate out of the trash can. And you would be surprised how many people can relate to that, which is really sad. We're not talking about – here in America, we all live behind these perfect picket fences. You know, we have this perfect house with a perfect picket fence around our house. But if you went inside the homes of a lot of Americans right now, I've heard the stories. Mothers who can't get off the couch because they're addicted. Fathers who cannot fix the roof on their house because they're so overweight, they're so obese and don't feel good, they can't get on a ladder. College kids. One girl had to drop out of college because she was so addicted to soda pop. I mean, this is like a girl, and one girl, she gave me permission to share her story. One time she was so despondent over her addiction to food that one night she got on a balcony, and she was going to end her life that night. And something in her just, you know, she didn't know what it was, but she felt compelled to go to my website and you know, look at my story again, and it gave her hope, you know. And so that's why I wrote that, just to make America aware that this is happening. This is not just my story. Mm-hmm. This is everybody, not everybody's story, but someone knows someone who's either addicted to food or they're severely overweight, or they're bulimic, or they're anorexic, or, you know, and you can be a normal weight and still be bulimic or addicted to food. You're just over-exercising to make up for it. So, you know, that's the awareness I just want to bring to America, like, this is what it is, and then this is how you get out.
It's just so crazy, right? Some of the things that you know, and we don't think, oh, it's just food. Like, it's not harmful. It's just food. It's not true.
Yeah. No,
it's just,
not
it's
at
food.
All.
I mean, overeating, diabetes, obesity, anorexia, bulimia. I mean, these are all could be fatal at some point. At one point in their life, it could be drastically, it could be fatal.
Well, in my book, Dr. Ludstick, he's from California. It's in my book. He's a pediatric endocrinologist out in California, and he talks about now that sugar is now the alcohol of the child, and we're addicting children with the sugar, and it's creating more diseases than smoking and smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol combined is causing more premature deaths. Our epidemic, because it's causing so many diseases and so many premature deaths. So, you know, it's and kids now. It's in the book. Dr. Esselstyn, he did a thing on kids age 17 to 34, and they did autopsies on kids who died, you know, car accidents, drownings, whatever. And that age group now has coronary artery disease, you know, plaque buildup in their arteries.
Wow.
And so and teenagers and young adults are getting strokes and heart attacks that they never had 50 years ago. So, you know, it's an epidemic, and unfortunately, it's a joke to a lot of people. They still joke about it. Even the year I lost 100 pounds, someone tried to pry my mouth open and stuff it with a chocolate eclair.
What?
You know, it's a thing in our society. Even like Aunt Betty, you know, innocent Aunt Betty at Christmas time. Oh, I made your favorite pie for you. You have to eat it. You know, there's this joking around. You'll see it on Facebook. People be eating donuts or whatever, and they're joking about it. You know, they're joking, and it's really a serious, unfortunate illness.
Well, does it help that Krispy Kreme does like dollar donuts or something? You know what I mean? Like all their sales.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just asking.
Oh, it's so prevalent. You can stop at any gas station, at any grocery store, at any place. I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We actually have a festival every summer in July, and they close off the streets in downtown Fort Wayne. And it's called Junk Food Alley. And every food truck imaginable sets up their, you know, whatever, their truck or whatever. And they have deep-fried Oreos, deep-fried Twinkies. And the place is packed out. I mean, it's the most popular event we have in the summer in our town is Junk Food Alley.
Emily.
And so that's...
Come on, Emily. We got to both agree that if it tastes that good, it's got to be good for you.
Yeah. And that's the deceptive part. And that's why it's so hard for people to get out of it.
It cannot be bad for you because it tastes so glorious.
I know. You'd be surprised. Yeah, I've done this now. I've been eating this way for 11 years, high nutrient foods. And you can put that stuff in front of me and I don't want it. It's not that I can't have it. It's I don't want it. Or a piece of pizza you can put in front of me.
Because you know what it does.
Well, no, it would make me sick. It literally would make me sick. And I look at that and it's like, ugh. I have no desire for that.
I think pizza is good. It has all the basic food groups. You know, it's made of bread. You can put meat on it. You have the cheese, which is a dairy. You know, you vegetables because it has tomato sauce. I mean, I think we're close. I do like, however, that Little Caesars on their menu board has all of the calories, and a large pizza from Little Caesars has 2,000 calories. If you literally ate an entire large pizza to yourself, you would have the daily calorie count already done.
Huh. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But it's low-nutrient food.
Right. Well, yeah, definitely. You know what I really love? You know what I love other food? If you put this in front of me, I'm like, yes. And I got turned on to this when I was in California, which is super weird. But anyway. So I was in Chicago with a group from people from California. Yeah, they had come at an event that I was speaking at. But anyway, we went to the California bar. Anyway, we went to the California bar because, like, oh, my God, there is one here. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
So the California, like, pizza bar, whatever the California club, whatever that thing is. And we went to this restaurant. And I absolutely love quinoa.
Mm,
have you had that?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
I learned so much about it from them. They're like, you got to look this up.
Great.
It is like God's little gift to the world. I'm like, what? Apparently, quinoa holds the most potent protein in any food available. Protein. I'm like, it's tiny.
It's a high
protein. But look how much you get. I was like, you better.
Oh, yes.
But it tastes so good.
Oh, yeah.
Love a quinoa salad. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. And see, if we could just, you know, replace our food with, you know, quinoa salads and, you know, things that have nutrients, food that has nutrients in it. It does. It shuts off that addiction. And, you know, I could, you know, I was in California a couple weeks ago, and one of my kids, it was their birthday, and I didn't want a piece of cake right then, but later on I had a piece of cake, and then that turned into the next day I had a chocolate chip cookie. And then the next day, I had a frozen yogurt. I say it's the river. You know, the waters look calm on top, but once you start just one bite, one piece, it leads. Then it's not so much that one piece of cake is going to ruin your health. That's not going to ruin your health, that one piece of cake.
Right.
But what it does, some people, once they get that rip current going, it takes weeks, months, and some people years. And some people never to get out of that rip current, and that's where the diseases start developing. And that's why it's
so
dangerous to start in that rip current. Yeah, I know someone, as I'm talking right now, I know someone who lost a lot of weight, got their health back and everything. And, you know, I've seen them recently, and it's all back on. But it was just, you know, one bite into that rip current just unravels and gets that addiction all activated again.
Wow. So how do you elevate the world around you? You take your why, you take your transformational moment, and you said that I never thought that I would be an advocate for food addiction and recovery.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That's a funny story. Well, that's a funny story, really. The year I lost 100 pounds, Dr. Furman, he had heard of me, and he had asked if I would write 500 words about my favorite vegetable for his blog. He wanted to post it on his blog. And back in 2008, I didn't even really know what a blog was, but I wrote 500 words about romaine lettuce. Back then, that was my favorite vegetable. And didn't think much of it, sent it to him, and he posted it on his blog, and his readers loved it.
Right.
So he asked if I would write another one. And this went on for 3 months. I wrote every week a new blog post. Because Dr. Furman, he's very athletic, his eyes eat and healthy. But I came along, I was this soccer mom from the cornfields of Indiana who lost 100 pounds, and a lot of people could relate with my story because of my struggles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was someone, a troll, who got in there and started writing these really nasty comments. This troll disguised himself as 4 females and 5 males, and he would start posting all these nasty comments every time I posted a blog. And it got to be ridiculous. People started, I think, reading the blog post just to see what all these comments were about. And then Dr. Furman would get on there and defend me, and it got to be like this blog war. And 3 months into it, they discovered the troll. And so instantly I started writing just overnight, literally. I started writing Furman. Weekly, it went on for about 5 years, and I started speaking all over the country, and I was on the Dr. Oz show, I was on NBC, I was on different, you know, shows like that. So that's how that all sort of snowballed into interacting with people all over the United States and all over the world through that.
Wow, that's impressive.
Very impressive. I'll tell you what happened. This is the interesting part, though, and I want to make sure everybody understands this part, is 10 days after I was on the Dr. Oz show, just 10 days later, my 21-year-old son, he died by suicide. And it was very traumatic, you know. Oh, it was just very traumatic. And about 18 months later, I went into a very deep depression after that, after the shock wore off and everything, and I had to, you know, just get out of the public scene at that point. I just couldn't function. I just had to sort of hide in my house and heal and get counseling and stuff. And right after the funeral, I just sort of lost my desire for food. I just had no appetite. But when my appetite did return, all I wanted was low-nutrient food. And mm-hmm. So it wasn't that unhealthy, but I started eating more like oat bars and peanut butter, and, you know, just a lot of high-calorie, low-nutrient food. And over time, I got addicted to, you know, food all over again, and I gained some of the weight back. Not a lot, but, you know, I gained some of the weight back. And, you know, so I went into this, you know, this relapse, and I would hide them from people. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was ashamed that I had gained weight. And that's an issue, too. A lot of people who gain weight, the anxiety skyrockets because they don't want to be seen in public. They don't want old friends to see them that they've, you know, put on 20 pounds or whatever it is they put on. And so, you know, that opened up that anxiety in me. Here I was, this public figure. You know, it's a success story on the Dr. Oz show. And then
yeah.
I was addicted all over again. So, you know, I understand that part of relapse and how when
sure.
you're in relapse, you got to get help out of it. You can't get out of it yourself. It's sometimes when you've been through either trauma or something that, you know, triggers that, you need to get some professional help just to help you, you know, get out of the inner turmoil that's happening on the inside of you and heal. And then once
yep.
I healed internally, I made wise choices again. You know, I started eating high
mm-hmm.
nutrient foods again, and, you know, the weight came off. And so, you know, I understand how easy it is to go back if you've been a success, like you've had a great weight loss journey or anything you've done to transform your life, and then you have a relapse of some sort. You know, that's a real common thing, and we don't talk about relapse enough, I don't think. We always talk about the successes, but what happens, you know, when you relapse? And so that's just a part of my journey too, is, you know, going through all of that. And so I have an understanding and a compassion now for, you know, anybody who has
mm-hmm.
had success and then, you know, has a relapse.
Right. So what is your message for the listeners that are listening right now? What is your message as they tune into the show live or catch it on one of the podcatchers, what do you want them to know? What is the one takeaway? What is your message?
No matter how addicted you are to food, no matter how many eating disorders, whatever label you want to put on it, you've had struggles with food, food problems, whatever it is, there's hope because you can get out of it. There's freedom for everybody. Everybody can get free of this. It's not a life sentence, you know, that you have to have for the rest of your life. You have to have the correct information and the correct tools, but you can get out of it. And, you know, and the number one thing is we must pay attention to the dietary quality of our food if we want long-term freedom from food addiction. And but I'm living example of the freedom. I've interacted with hundreds, thousands of people who have also got free of food addiction, permanently free. We're not talking, you know, just it worked for 2 or 3 weeks. We're talking years. And so that's my hope is, you know, this isn't something anybody has to live with and struggle with.
Right.
And so.
Perfect. Yeah. I like it. Here's what I want to do. Before we start to close the show, I want to do a shameless plug. You can plug your website, programs, products, services, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Okay. I tell you what. I wrote the book, Starved to Obesity, My Journey Out of Food Addiction and How You Can Escape It Too. I wrote it for anybody who has been caught in a food addiction or you know someone caught in it, or you have a child in it. It's for counselors, teachers, anybody in it, clergy, to understand food addiction and how to help other people out of it, how to help yourself out of it. And so it's on my website, emilybowler.com. You can go there. There's links to it. It's on Amazon. It's in all the Barnes & Nobles. It's out there anywhere you get fine books. And I sort of went out on a limb to write the book because it's very vulnerable. It exposes a lot of my private life, but I want people free of food addiction because I know how devastating it is and how it ruins health and relationships.
Perfect. Outstanding. As we close, I want you to deliver how they can get a hold of you and what you do specifically once they do.
Okay, sure. Well, they can get a hold of me at my website, emilybowler.com. They can contact me on there or Emily Bowler, Starved to Obesity on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. My handle is Emily S. Bowler on Instagram. And I am more than happy to answer questions, to interact, to, you know, shoot me an email, shoot me, you know, a message on Facebook, Instagram. I just want to see people who are suffering get free of this addiction. So reach out to me. You know, just keep in touch with me. Let me know, you know, your struggles and how I can help. But if anything, though, buy my book and understand, or just get it from the library. Get the book from the library to understand the information, how to get free from it. So that's my passion, for you to get free.
Perfect. I like everything about that.
Yeah,
perfect.
It is. I wouldn't have written the book if I didn't want to help people out of it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Emily, this has been an amazing time spent together. I want to thank you for your time. You've given an amazing information, great, great story. And I love how you suffered from these things. Now you're an advocate for these, you know, diseases, or I don't even like that. It's addictions and just different, different moments, that different seasons that people are going through. What I did want to mention is I noticed that there's like the Atkins diet, and then there was the You know, you got the keto diet and you got all the, like all this stuff, like Jenny Craig and Slim Fast, like all this stuff about losing weight, but yet people still suffer in silence.
Oh yeah. It's an epidemic. It's so sad. Like I say, those 5 years I traveled and, you know, worked for Dr. Furman and heard people's stories. That's why I wrote the book too. I've got to tell their stories. And their stories are in my book too. And it's like, this is really happening, guys. You know, this is not just one or two people. This is everywhere you go, these stories. And people whisper the stories to you because they don't want anybody to know. You know, everybody has a smile on their face, but underneath, they are suffering with this addiction. And
right.
We just don't talk about it. So I'm hoping we're going to start talking about it here because that's how we're all going to get healthier. Yeah,
right.
Thank you for... for highlighting
this,
because this needs to be talked about.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. One thing that I just don't understand, before we close, I just want to close with this. One thing I don't understand, and I mean, this could be its whole other episode. It's more expensive to eat healthy. If you look at the cost of things, now we have really drastic. I mean, we were the hamburger helper family for many years, and Sloppy Joe's and, you know, whatever. Now we only use scratch things. Like, we don't use, you gotta use box rice. I mean, it's not like I'm going to go buy out in my rice patch, you know, like minute rice,
sure,
stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, we'll get that, but we're not doing like hamburger helper or bag dinner. You ever seen those bag dinners in a box or whatever, like already pre-made?
Yeah.
Like I feel better just by eating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we buy the peppers, we grill the peppers, we'll make homemade, you know, homemade stews, homemade. One of the things that we started making was chicken with peppers and homemade Alfredo sauce, not the jar sauce. We make our own sauce, which tastes even more better. I mean, more better. When you buy things in a jar or in a can or whatever, there is a drastic change in taste. Just saying.
Oh,
if you've
absolutely.
Only ate this and then you go and start doing it the way that you're supposed to, by scratch and everything, you can tell the difference.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, it's like it spoils you because you get so, your taste buds change so much, so drastically, that any other food, you know, stuff in cans now, just like, blech, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. It's in my book. I calculated it out one time. I literally save about $3,000 a year on just myself by eating the way I do now compared to during my younger years when I was obese, about $3,000 a year I'm saving. And that's just me. That's just me.
Yeah.
And I never ate out even when, you know, we were always very frugal and I never ate out, and I'm still saving about $3,000 a year. Because, you know, when you're that large, you eat a lot more food.
Right.
You need a lot more
calories. Well, we meal plan everything. I mean, literally, we meal plan everything. And what's crazy, even further, is that we save the money because we're not throwing away vegetables. We're not throwing away these different things.
Sure.
And I think that it's very important to, number one, meal plan. Know what you're going to make Monday through Friday. Because a lot of time we're spent, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? Let's just get pizza.
let's just order out.
7:30.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go out, you know. But if you meal plan, you know, you're not buying $300 or $400 worth of groceries and throwing away $100 of it.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
you're not throwing away the vegetables and fruits because they sit in there because you don't eat them or the kids don't eat them. You know, it's like, what are we going to make this week? And then, if you meal plan, then you actually end up saving money, but you're eating healthy because, you know, we're going to have these recipes. We're going to need these ingredients. We're going to need, you know, whatever. Some things are cheaper. It's just some things are cheaper if you just buy it instead of making it. But really
and
in the long run, I'm thinking that – yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always about, you know, being prepared ahead of time, knowing what you're mm-hmm. going to be buying to eat, you know, so you don't make impulsive buys and spend a lot of money, and having a plan. That's the best thing you can do is have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. One thing that I want to say, I mean, we can go back and forth on this, but the reason why it's so expensive to eat healthy is maybe they want to keep people sick because of the medical community. Like, it's a big business that's, you know, because you get a conspiracy theories and like all that stuff, you know, like trying to eat organic is more expensive. But yeah, if I buy junk, it's like super cheap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so weird. And I noticed that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel great, but man, it's expensive to eat healthy. And so if you look around the grocery store, the inside aisles of the grocery store seem to be the most healthiest. The outside aisles and what do they call them? The headers and the
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? It's that facing
I know what you're talking
aisle, right? It's all like, here's some M&Ms and here's some soda and here's some bad stuff and here's some more bad. The aisles, the beginning of the aisle on the outside, you know? It's like the outside of the aisles are the worst, but the inside of the aisles are the best. And that's just what I noticed.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what I noticed. Yep. So, we really try to, like, you know, just eat some, whether it be like yogurt, juice.
Sure.
You know, fresh fruits and vegetables, things like that. That's really where we've gone in the past two years. And
good for you.
I feel great. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely good. Yeah,
awesome.
I even took up gardening. I garden a lot now. So it's like it really transformed me. I went from macaroni and cheese to gardening. Transformation.
Very cool. I love it. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. You were an absolutely amazing guest. And this is something we need to be talking about. And I've never had anything like this on my show before. So I'm super pumped for the opportunity to get to know you and feature you and your story.
Great. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And it'll boost productivity, too. That's another thing. When you feel well.
Oh, yeah.
Your productivity goes through the roof.
100%. Outstanding.
Yeah.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest impacting the world around her. If anything that Emily and I talked about today, please connect with her at Emily Bowler, B-O-L-L-E-R, EmilyBowler.com. And you can also go to Facebook and look up Emily Bowler Starved to Obesity. Look her up, connect with her. She is doing amazing work with food addiction and toxins and just educating the marketplace and educating the people around her on how to live a healthy and impactful life. So with that, I need to close the show. Live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.